Amen. Amen. It's really true, and we have so much to celebrate, even as we during worship, as David and the worship team, fantastic job. We have so much to celebrate, and our God is so faithful and so good. Hopefully, you just had a nice 4th of July celebration. I know even international community, there's an international potluck on the 4th of July here on the field. It's fantastic to see people gathered out there. And just to have a celebration, it was amazing. My family went with some other families to the parade in Moscow. The parade in Moscow has kind of grown from this little neighborhood thing to this crazy thing that happens in Moscow now. We'll get into that a little bit later, but so much to celebrate. And our God is moving, and part of what he asks us to do as his people is to celebrate. So would you stand this morning? We're going to read a chunk of scripture from our Bible reading today. And it's kind of looking at the negative side of it a little bit, but we'll get there here in a little bit. All right, so let's read along together from Deuteronomy 28. Here we go. If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm for the abundant benefits you have received, you will serve your enemies whom the Lord your God sent. And you will have hungry, thirsty, naked, lacking in everything. Lord, thank you for your word. And, you may be seated. All right. Okay. We have an altar call. Let me see some joy and enthusiasm in the house of the Lord this morning. Yeah. Yeah. My goodness. So our Bible reading today, he talks about we're supposed to serve him with joy and enthusiasm, and all these blessings come. It's incredible. You're like, wow, yes. Yes, please. It's amazing. But then he goes in to the next chapter. He talks about all these curses will come if we don't. And so it's essentially what he's saying here to us today as we read his word is that we can serve him with joy and enthusiasm, or we can serve our enemies in bondage and servitude. And we get to pick. I don't know. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord with joy and enthusiasm, right? And so, amen. My goodness gracious. So he calls for us. He asks us to celebrate. A couple little looks at these at the scripture here and what these mean in the Hebrew. Joy in the Strong's really means joy, mirth, gladness. All right. There's supposed to be rejoicing that happens as we serve our God. The word enthusiasm also translated gladness. It says with gladness of heart. And so gladness of heart, what is gladness? Good things. Propriety. There's greatness. There's goodness of heart means that the inner man, the will and the soul. So there's supposed to be abundance in the will and the soul as we serve God. So joy and enthusiasm and this crazy great thing stirring up inside our souls that God is telling us we need to serve him with that mindset, serve him with that attitude. We need to celebrate our God and what he has done. And there's cause for celebration. So this morning, I want to just take a little look at celebrating and what God asks us to do as we celebrate. It is really all through scripture. It really is. And sometimes I think that we've got to remind our faces that we're supposed to serve God with joy and enthusiasm. I wonder sometimes if people look at us and they look at our faces and go, man, there is someone who is excited to be serving Jesus. Or are we just like, you know, and people go, it's amazing how many times people talk to us and we're kind of our first response has nothing to do with serving God with joy and enthusiasm. How you doing? Tired. How you doing? Life's hard, but God is good. You know, we take the difficult thing. I could turn it on my head and I go, I trust God. I don't know what he's doing. He's in charge. I know that he's going to work it for good because I love him and I'm called according to his purposes. You know, and like, wow, this is super convincing. I don't understand how more people in our community aren't saved. You know, we're like, if we're serving the Lord with drudgery, all right, and fatigue instead of joy and enthusiasm. And I think it's time for us to address some of this stuff just a little bit. It's a big deal. We've got in our Bible Foundations classes. It's incredible. It talks about the 7 festivals and feasts, and there's so many different ways to live, but God's telling us, celebrate this way. We celebrate, and it's amazing. The lesson I was looking through, my kids, we were over there, they go, Dad, we've got the festivals here from our Bible Foundations classes. Anna pulls it out, and she's got there, and it says there's 3 reasons that God asked us to do this, and of course, you dig into this, and it's just amazing stuff. But it's so that we can tell the next generation about the great things that our God has done, right? That's super important. We can remember ourselves what God has done, a very, very important thing. And then so that the people of the Lord are set apart from all other people, peoples, as those who are celebrating and honoring their God. And so he says to celebrate. We've got to do that. Ecclesiastes 4 tells us there's this time to dance. There's a time to rejoice. There's a time to celebrate. And so we see it all through Scripture. So we're going to look at why do we celebrate? How do we celebrate? What does this all look like? And just 4 points this morning. The first one is this. We've got to celebrate with purpose. This is the why. We've got to celebrate with purpose. There's a why in our celebration that's really important. A social gathering, okay, is just a gather of people, a party, all right? Just a social gathering. They're just like, hey, we're just getting people together. There might be food, there might be games, there might be music, whatever, but really all it is, a party, is just people getting together. A celebration is a social event that has a purpose behind it. It's to honor something, is to commemorate something, is to say something profound, something exciting, something excellent has happened, and we need to mark that. We need to celebrate that. We've got to take some time, set apart some time, and there's a purpose behind this whole thing. It's not just a random gathering. Didn't know what else to do. Hang out with some friends. There's purpose behind a celebration, the economy of God. And the greater the purpose, the greater the celebration. The sacraments in Scripture are really, ultimately, are celebrations in so many ways. We see a wedding and a wedding reception. It's a celebration that went on for days in biblical times. For days. It's like, hey, so-and-so's getting married. You're like, oh man, we got to block out the week, all right? It's a big deal. All right, and they would celebrate. This is a big deal. God's moving. God is doing something. So we've got wedding celebrations. Today we have celebration of life services where we're celebrating, even in the midst of the tragedy, someone's incredible life and the way that they have lived. We've got major milestones in life, like major birthdays. We've got retirements where we're celebrating something. There's all kinds of these things. There's a purpose behind it, and that brings great cause for celebration. We had a gender reveal just a couple weeks ago with Joel and Yvonne, and that was amazing. I had a whole bunch of people gathered there, and there was a purpose behind that celebration. How many people were right that it was a boy coming? How many people were wrong? Yeah, I'm not even looking. I'm not going to raise my hand either. We had to guess it wrong myself. So there's purpose. There's purpose behind the greater the purpose, the greater the celebration. A God-given purpose leads to great celebration. There's purposes in God behind celebrating. And we've got to tap into that. I know some of us kind of, it's not really my thing so much and everything. But God calls us to celebrate. It's important to God. It needs to be important to us. Second, there's planning or preparation in celebration. This is the what. There's planning, preparation for celebration. You know, the planning and preparation really help to create the environment where the celebration happens. The less planning or preparation, often the more minor the celebration is. The more planning or preparation, the greater the celebration. Suzanne and I were asked to come and to do a wedding one time, and so we had the rehearsal for everything, and then the groom told the bride, he goes, I have the rehearsal dinner, got it, okay? I'm going to do the rehearsal dinner, I just want to bless you. And it's amazing. She's like, okay, because she's covering every other detail of the whole wedding. He's like, I got the rehearsal dinner. And I'm like, okay, great. And so I'm like, that's neat. That's really neat. He wants to do that. So after the rehearsal, they gave us this direction stuff. The rehearsal dinner is going to be at the park, and we're going to do this thing in the park. I'm like, great. So we got GPS and went to this park, and we get there. And he was cooking hot dogs, and I think that maybe had been the whole menu. I think there was condiments, and he had hot dogs and stuff. And you could see her kind of going, okay, you know, like that, and everything. And so Suzanne, being you know really engaged in this stuff the way that you know she is and everything, and kind of thinking, she goes, hey, anything to do to help? Where are your plates and cups and stuff? He goes, I don't have any plates and cups and stuff, man. Like that, whatever. I'm like, great, we got those. We're just here to help. So she goes, honey, we got to run to the store. So I'm like, great. So she ran to the store because he had hot dogs and buns, I think, and ketchup. And so this whole thing's unfolding. You're just like, oh my goodness, you know, this is a celebration. This is a big deal. And this isn't exactly probably how the bride saw this going down and everything. But he's like, I got this. And so, you know, and she's like, that's really wonderful. So I'm going, there's probably a conversation we need to have later with a gentleman. I mean, he's excited to serve his wife, but they might have different ideas of what celebration and service are like. And so we got to help get them on the same page. You're like, look, hot dogs is a special thing to you, all right? To her, Probably not, all right? What if there's ketchup? Nope, that's not gonna bring it home, all right? That's not gonna land. Mustard, not gonna land the plane, all right? There's a little bit, there's planning and preparation that goes into a real celebration. And you see that in scripture as well, okay? Where God has the Levites prepare for service in the house of the Lord. We even see God tells his people, consecrate yourselves, because I'm gonna move among you, all right? They take this time to prepare themselves. As they're leaving Egypt, they're leaving slavery and in Egypt, he has them preparing and all these things are going on. It's this huge preparation. They prepare the animals for animal sacrifice and on and on and on. There's this preparation process for this to be done right that makes the celebration the profound thing that it's supposed to be. And sometimes they're kind of like, hey, can we just kind of keep it easy? Can we just kind of do the hot dog thing? And sometimes that's all right. But the greater the celebration, the greater the purpose, the greater the cause, the more planning and preparation is commensurate with it. And we should be able to dig into that. And our God prepares, and we need to prepare as well. The greater celebration, the greater the preparation. We need to prepare to celebrate. Third, there's the people in the celebration. This is the who, right? Who is involved in the celebration? Very important stuff. I know we've all got different perspectives on this even, all right? A lot of us are like, hey, the perfect kind of celebration to me is sort of the, you know, party of one, you know? But party of one is like, you know, you travel by yourself or something, you know, or you're having a lunch somewhere and you're by yourself, and like, if it's your party of one, and people are like, that's no party. You know, you're, hey, easy. You know, I'm just traveling by myself here, whatever. All right, a celebration isn't a party one. There's people involved. And here's the thing, is that the people will often look differently than I do, all right? If I will only party with people just like me, I will party alone. If I will only celebrate with people that look just like me, I will celebrate alone. That's not celebration, that's isolation, all right? Something needs to move inside of us that says, okay, I'm going to have to embrace something that looks a little different than me, all right? There might be some preferences in this whole thing that looks a little bit different than the preferences that I have, but that's what our God calls us to. And he tells us, Hebrews 10:25, to not forsake the assembling together of ourselves, but even all the more as the day approaches. He says, get together with people. Call a sacred assembly. Call a holy convocation. Get the people together for a celebration, for this special event. It's going to involve other people. And if we're not willing to embrace that, we will miss out. We'll miss out profoundly. All right. It is an incredible thing to celebrate with other people. I mentioned the Moscow parade earlier. And so our family went over there on the 4th of July morning there Friday. And I'd never been to it. I think that the whole thing began in Tara Dyke's dad's neighborhood here a few years ago, and it started to blow up, and so they had to move it to the streets. And so Suzanne's kind of known about it for a while because of Tara Dyke, and on and on and on. It's amazing. I think it's 4 years old is all now, but my goodness, it's blown up. It's crazy. And so Suzanne was saying, hey, do you want to go to the, I know you've got a lot going on, but do you want to go to the parade? And I'm like, absolutely, because of you. I'm not necessarily interested in the parade and everything, but for absolutely, that's what our family is doing. You know, then here we go. So we go over there, and Tara sends a text out to this whole group. We're right in front of the Hodgkin's drug store, and so this is where we're at, and everything. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a thing. You know, we get there, and there's a whole bunch of folks from church there too, and Mrs. Dyke loves the 4th of July, all right? She's kind of like excited, and you know, she's kind of going around like this and kind of, you know, getting their seats in just the right place and everything. It's really amazing to see. And all these different families are there. And so the parade gets going, and I'm going, I cannot believe this, all right? It may be pound for pound, the most amazing parade for the 4th of July in the nation, okay? It might be, all right? Johnson maybe had it for a little while, but the torch has been passed to Moscow. It's amazing. We were talking about, like, could you do this in Pullman? We were talking to Valerie Weaver, because she works for the city. Valerie, maybe you could coordinate this for Pullman. She goes, this would not work in Pullman, all right? You know, it's going to work in Pullman. I'm going, why? But I kind of watched the thing start to happen. Again, this is my first time at this thing, and I'm going, okay, this is crazy. So people start coming through, you know, and they're throwing candy like crazy. I mean, they're candy everywhere, you know, so candy's going all over the place. Kids are running out there. Everything's moving slow and all this stuff, but the candy's flying all over the place. They're going, okay, careful, you guys. You're kind of, you know, but they have people walking next to stuff, keeping the kids out from under the wheels and all this stuff and everything. Mr. Dyke's there. He's like, wait, you see this? You're going to feel inadequate as a contractor because there's all these big contractors coming through with all their equipment and everything. You know, they've got their big air horns. Whoop, you know, all of a sudden, it's just going. I was like, oh my gosh, this is kind of crazy. These guys go through with two floats, and they're actually roofing these, like, sheds on wheels with the American flag, all right? And they're wearing clothing that's barely appropriate. They're wearing, like, these 4th of July, these flag shorts that come to about here, and you can tell these guys never work in shorts because they are, like, red, white, and a little blue, you know? I mean, and, you know, Suzanne's like, I'm not looking. And they're roofing this American flag thing and all this stuff. It's just crazy what's going on. A friend of mine who's a contractor over there is going through. He's throwing out Otter Pops. He told me they threw out 2,080 Otter Pops this year. He goes, next year it's going to have to be 10,000. That was Kenneth Gingras. And so they're throwing this everywhere. It was amazing. So this whole thing's going down. It's kind of crazy. And they're just getting warmed up, as it turns out. And again, Mrs. Dyke's really excited. And she said, this is amazing. And so they're going along. And then all of a sudden, they go through with pizza. There's people are just walking through with pizza. I'm just going, that's a pizza. And like, I'm going, what? There's pizza? They're just going through handing out pizza. Another reason was never work in Pullman, all right? Because everybody would have gloves, all right? Everybody would be sanitized, everything, the whole thing, right? Full Tyvek suits, all right? And they're in Pullman and everything. Probably there'd be a government entity would show up, shut the whole thing down and say, people might get sick with this going on. You know, and in Moscow, I was like, yeah, you know, just handing out pizza, all right? Next thing that happens, they go along and they're handing out, someone's handing out apple pies. I'm like, they're handing out apple pies, you know? And they go, and then Mrs. Dyke goes, here they come, they're handing out full bottles of soda, you know, full cans of soda. Like, here's a Coke, here's a Dr. Pepper, they're just throwing cans of soda. I'm like, what kind of parade is this? In Pullman, it'd be like, you can't throw cans of soda at children, you know? And in Moscow, they're like, yes, hit me, you know, throw it. All right, it's happening, all right? So that's going. And then it just keeps going. And then they come through, and Mrs. Dyke goes, here come the hot dogs. I'm like, what? They've got wrapped hot dogs, okay? And they're throwing hot dogs. Everybody's catching hot dogs. Like, what is it? They're still warm, all right? Open it up. The condiments are wrapped up. And they did better than the groom in the wedding thing that we were talking about earlier in a parade in Moscow, all right? And so we're all going through. We got hot dogs. But what is the deal here? So we're eating hot dogs. In fact, we got a pic. The Hearst family was there, all right? And Connor was the only one maybe more excited. He's like two, right? Only one maybe more excited than Mrs. Dyke. There he is with the hot dog. Can we get the hot dog back there? There he is. Yes! Connor, my man. And so he's got the hot dog going, all that, and away they go. Then I think another group of pies came through. I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. And everybody's eating. The whole thing, it's just insane. I'm going, I wouldn't be surprised, this is Moscow, if they started throwing out ammo for the adults. Here's bullets, you know, here we go. You know, hopefully it won't explode on the street. It would never work in Pullman, all right. But here's the thing that was really amazing about all this, all right, is that it's a celebration and everybody's celebrating together. Celebrations are meant to be shared. There's people involved, okay? A lot of the people involved in the parade are not really exactly like me, you know? It's like, this is kind of like an interesting show to watch almost, you know? We're just laughing, going, this is crazy. You know, all these things are happening. This is wild. The two guys that go through, they have their own float. Who is it? What are their names? Yeah. And it just has her name on the side of the thing, all right? And one of them's just throwing a football at the crowd, and they're throwing it back. You're like, that's it? And everybody's like, that's it. And look at how much fun they're having, all right? It's absolutely insane. I've never seen anything like it. But it's meant to be shared. And here's the thing that stood out to me. Connor was so fun because that kid, he was just lit up the whole time, all right? He's like all excited, and I asked Kevin, his dad, he loves this thing, huh? He goes, oh, yeah, he's going to be like this the entire time, all right? So put that slide back up there of Kevin holding Connor back up to where he's pointing. So anything that came down the street, okay, all right, see Connor up there? Kevin's holding him up there where he can see, all right? Anything that came down the street, Connor is telling his dad, Kevin, he's like, dad, tacto.
tactum.
And because tractors are like his favorite things in the world, all right? And then there was a drone flying, of course. There's drones flying just over everybody's heads and everything too, because there's just stuff everywhere. And he's like, airplane, dad, airplane. I go over and I talk to Kevin at one point. I'm like, Kevin, this is so fun. But something was happening, and Connor felt a little bit abandoned. He's like, dad. You know, I'm like, sorry. Because like every moment had to be shared. He had to share every single moment with his dad. And two-year-olds get this. Yeah. Two-year-olds get this. But a lot of times us in our maturity are kind of going, you know, I it's just not that big a deal to me anymore, you know, or whatever. Or that was fun back then. And because we're not as willing to just kind of let our hair down and get excited, we get a little more refined and everything, we miss out on the celebration that God has for us. We're kind of just going, I'm just going to surround myself with people like me. And we just kind of keep this simple. And our lives tend to get a little bit smaller and smaller and smaller. And God is saying, bring everybody together to celebrate. It's time to call an assembly. It's time for everybody to gather. And when we don't gather, we miss out. I'll tell you, Connor and Mrs. Dyke were the highlight of the whole thing. Was all of a sudden, they were so excited. And, you know, Tara was like, here come the hot dogs. She's just like, she couldn't even take it. And Connor's, da-da. We celebrate with other people. It changes everything. And God is saying, will you, people of my people, will you gather together? Will you celebrate? Will you please do this as a community instead of just standing back and kind of watching this or going, I'm not really comfortable with that. I got to do my own thing. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people who maybe look at that whole thing in Moscow and go, this is crazy. It's not being done right. There's problems at whatever. I don't know, for sure, probably, whatever, all right? But guess what Pullman's parade looked like? Goose egg, nothing. And like Dwight Moody said, I like my way of doing it wrong better than your way of not doing it at all. And we'll sit back sometimes and not do it at all and go, how perfect was that? And God goes, not even close. You so missed it. You so missed it. I want you to gather together with some people that don't look like you, that don't act like you, but that I'm moving on as well. And we get together and celebrate. I believe that's part of what he's calling us to. So thank you, Kevin and Connor. Thank you, Tara Dyke, for making that absolutely incredible. That was amazing. All right, and fourth. So we've got purpose. We've got planning and preparation. We've got people. And then fourth, we need flexibility. Okay? Alliteration is very important, and so I couldn't bend on flexibility. And so work with me a little bit there. Yeah, that makes what Carl did look tame, and so flexibility. I guess point taken right there, right? Flexibility. You know, the best celebrations will involve people we're not necessarily comfortable with. It'll come at inopportune times, in inopportune circumstances, when things just aren't lining up, whatever, and God's going to call us to be flexible as he calls us to celebration. It's not going to look like what we would like it to look like. And then the question we're going to have to answer is, will I pack up and head out, or will I pick up and roll and join in? Okay, are we going to pack up and move out? Are we going to pick up and join in? That question is going to face us every time. And it's so easy to stand back and just go, gosh, I'm busy. Gosh, these people are kind of crazy. Gosh, I've got other things to do. Always. But it's interesting. I think that's where we see God move. It's very rarely that it says in Scripture, and it came to pass when everything was perfect that the angel of the Lord showed up and said, behold, I'm about to move on your behalf. Never mind. Everything's good. You know, and away he goes. That kind of misread. I didn't read the room very well. You guys are doing great. It's when things are messy when God shows up and moves. It's when things aren't working quite perfectly. It's when we're engaged and there's some struggle that we see our God move. It's powerful. If this is going to work, we're going to have to do some work. Philippians 2, 3 through 4, pretty familiar with this, most of us. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. The best celebration will not be about me. This means it will challenge me. This means it's going to be bigger than me. This means it's not going to be all of my preferences, all right? It's got to be. One of the things to talk to about young couples that are getting married is encourage them to not make it about them. You just go, can you make your wedding celebration something that honors God, first and foremost, that honors your guests, the people that come to celebrate with you? Because that's what a sacrament is. It's something that honors God and then honors the people of God. And so even at a wedding, can we make this something that celebrates him and his people instead of just making it all about us? There's something profound that happens when we engage in the interests and perspectives of others that turns it into a celebration instead of a pity party. Very, very important stuff. Best celebration will not be about me. It's going to involve other people. I've been so stretched in this. Gosh, I've been so stretched and it's so huge. I'll finish with this with a little story here. I'll take a little time to lay down here. I love music, always have. I love Jesus, and I love to worship him. And I just listen to Jesus' music. It moves me. I love it. And it's amazing. I think our car should be like a little sanctuary, you know. We just get to worship, and it's just an amazing thing. Love it. And I've imparted that some to our kids, mine and Suzanne's kids, and everything. And when there's music happening all the time in our house, a lot of times it's just a joyful noise, all right? It isn't always beautiful. In fact, just this morning, we were kind of saying together as a family, remember, it doesn't have to be loud to be beautiful, you know, because sometimes it is just loud, you know, just, ah! You know, let's see how high we can sing and whatever, and all of our, and it's just happening. It's an amazing thing. It's a beautiful thing, but I love it, all right? And so, but the kids will listen to some stuff that's not my preference, all right? And sometimes... it's not even close to my preference. Just a whole different style. And of course, it's Christian music, it's worship music and everything. But it's just not what my preference. So in the last year or so, the kids have been listening to some Forrest Frank. And when I first heard Forrest Frank, I seriously, after about 30 seconds, I asked Lizzie. I said, Lizzie, can we listen to something else, please, you know, and she's like, yeah, no problem, Dad, and because it was just like, oh my, I don't know, people like, I can't even really take this, okay, and so she changed it, and then a little while later, like, Pastor Dan played Good Day in his message. It's a great, happy song and everything, and you know, I'm still, Forrest Frank still kind of rubbed me the wrong way, and let me explain how this works. So we've got for him, Psalm 112, which is one of my favorite songs ever. We've got a little clip of that. And so this is what music's supposed to sound like. Okay. Turn it up. Okay. This is the bridge. It's going someplace. We've got 4 men of God. Only thing better is more. Turn up. Okay, that's music, all right? It's for him. They sang that in concert here at Living Faith Fellowship years ago, all right? I've sung that on this platform or tried to sing it, whatever you want to call it, a couple times. It's a beautiful, beautiful song, all right? It's got the modulation after the bridge, like it's supposed to, okay? Like it goes a place, boom, modulates. You've got 4 men with incredible voices singing together in these incredible soaring harmonies, all right? And away it goes, beautiful instrumentation. And when the song is done, you just kind of want to just like fall on the floor and just go, oh God, you're so good. And if I die right now, I'm okay with that. This is absolutely amazing and I love it, all right? Okay, now a good full file coming from good speakers that are, everything's done right and everything, you know, it's icing on the cake. There's a beautiful song, all right? Here's one of Forrest Frank's most famous songs, okay? It's called Lift My Hands, all right? And I'm going to play, this is the beginning of it. We're going to play the first 30 seconds for you, okay? It's like, it's okay, all right?
Hey Lord, I lift my hands. I give all the praise to you. Everything I am, you gave me the strength to do. Hey, Lord, I lift my hands.
Please, thank you.
Lord, I shake my head.
Okay. Okay, now, in all fairness, that's the beginning of the song, right? Okay. I played the end of the song from Psalm 112 for him, for you, okay? But the end of the song is the same, all right? You go, where is he going with that? Nowhere, all right? He's going nowhere. We're done, all right? Okay. So the lyrics are good, okay? They, you know, rub my hands, I'm gonna praise to you. That's okay, that's good. That's good, all right? But the soaring vocal, okay? Modulation, all right? Going someplace, song is done, take me home, Jesus. Please. Yes, please. Out of my misery. Put me out of my misery. So, all right. Okay. Now, to make it worse, okay. Okay, that's just exposure to what he sounds like. This is what he looks like. All right. Okay. He's got a mullet. All right. Okay. Creepy stash. All right. Children, stay away from him. All right. Okay. In his defense, all right, when I was, you know, late teens, Billy Ray Cyrus was rocking the mullet. There's no such thing as rocking the mullet, but Billy Ray Cyrus was. It's kind of a creepy thing, and so we're like, this is kind of crazy. All right, so there's Forrest Frank. And so I'm going, this is just kind of hard to take. And then, but a few months later, Lizzie said, hey, Dad, Forrest Frank came out with some new songs, and he's getting better. I'm like, well, that's wonderful news. And so I'm sure I'm not the only parent that's been praying for him. And that's outstanding. It's outstanding news and everything. And so there's Forrest Frank. We like to do something special with our kids for their 13th birthday. It's like, you're a teenager now, let's do something kind of major. We took Liam on this little ski trip, and we took Anna to a concert in Spokane, see the night. Judah, things were kind of messed up because I had a concussion and stuff, but we went to Spokane, and we did Dude Perfect thing, and all that was really great and everything. And then Lizzie, we really didn't do much because, again, it was concussion time and everything, and we really couldn't do it. And so finally, we're like, we got to do something. Her 15th birthday was coming here a couple months ago, and we're kind of feeling guilty. You know, Suzanne's like, honey, we got to do something. I'm like, I know, but I mean, you know, and it's getting worse. You know, we got to do this while she's still a teenager. You know, we were 13th. And so Suzanne's like, hey, I found there's a Forrest Frank concert. I'm like, seriously? Do we have to look at him, you know? And she goes, but it's also Elevation Rhythm. I'm like, praise God, there's worship music involved. This is a really good thing, okay? And I'm like, okay, great. We'll just get a little Forrest Frank out of the way and then do Elevation Rhythm. She goes, no. Elevation Rhythm's opening for Forrest Frank. I'm like, so we get a half hour of worship and then 3 hours of Forrest, I don't know, you know, whatever. And I'm like, well, it's not my birthday, it's Lizzie's, and so we've got, So we're like, okay, and how much are tickets? She goes, well, the floor, you know, up close there and everything, $80 a ticket. I'm like, what? I've thought about twist the knife, you know? And I go, what, is there anything else? She goes, well, there's stadium seating way back in the back. It's $200 back in the back for stadium seating. I'm like, are you sure? That's not backward? You know, how does that, and she goes, no, that's, I'm like, okay. Well, we'll do the cheaper ones for sure. That's crazy, you know. But I guess I'll be able to see better, which actually is good. I do like music. Lord help us. And so Suzanne bought the tickets, and so we said, Lizzie, your 15th birthday is coming up. We've got to do something. We're like 2 years late on this. Why don't you look up, see if there's a concert you'd like to go to? And so she goes, wow, Forrest Frank's in Seattle in 2 weeks. So I'm like, 2 weeks? That ain't happening. Keep looking, right? I'm like, you know, and so she kind of keeps looking and found some other stuff and everything. And then Suzanne came out and had the envelope. She opened it up. She's like, "What?" I'm like, "Yep, we're going to Forrest Frank." Okay. So we get in the car and I'm going, I just got to engage my daughter's world, right? So we're on the way to Seattle. I'm like, okay, let's listen to some of his songs and everything. I'm like, Lord, help me here. And so we're driving on the way over, listening to the stuff and everything. I'm like, okay, you know, kind of. And I'm like, his lyrics are actually pretty great. This is pretty amazing, the lyrics and everything. We get to the concert, and we had early entry, which apparently was a really important thing. Suzanne looked this stuff up ahead of time. So we get in there early. There's there's like 9,000 kids and a handful of adults, right? I'm like, this is crazy. We get in early, and the other people that got in early are running down to the front, and so we're getting down to the front, and okay, if we're going to do this, we got to do this. And we get there, and people are going like this, trying to create some space and everything. I'm like, what is going on? You know, there's no chairs. There's no chairs. I'm like, we paid $80 for that for no chair. You know, we're sitting here, and I'm like, take some space, people. Take some space. You know, other people are doing this too. And things just kind of keep packing in and packing and packing in. And the state $200 stadium seats way back there. I'm like, man, those people are going to not be able to see anything, but hey, I guess they'll be sitting down, and that's great. Okay, so the thing finally starts, Elevation Rhythm. It's an hour, and everything. And that was really neat, but it kept getting tighter and tighter and tighter because it's kids. And they keep pushing in, trying to get up where their friends are and all this stuff and everything, all right? There's a 6'4", probably college guy, leader guy, 6'4", guy standing right in front of me. I'm like, this is amazing. It's incredible. And it keeps getting tighter and tighter and tighter. It's kind of a hexagon, picture a hexagon. I got someone right here. Someone right here, someone right here, someone right here, someone right here, and someone right here, all right? So I got six people all kind of touching me intermittently, okay, and everything, and this 6'4 guy standing right there, all right? And so, but again, people keep kind of pressing in and pressing in and pressing in, and I'm just standing on this square foot of concrete. Lizzie's not feeling great, and so we're going to go get some water. I'm like, great, I'll try to keep her spot. I don't even know how you do this. So they go get water. They call me like, yeah, Lizzie's not feeling great. Not sure if we're going to come back up to the front there. I'm like, hey, whatever you want to do. Yes, you know. And so finally as they go, hey, we're here. We just want to come back up to the front. I'm like, okay, good luck. So they come back up to the front. Everything has changed. There's more people everywhere. And now there's like four people between 6'4 college guy and me there because everybody just keeps packing in and packing in and packing in and finally Forrest Frank starts, all right? And we're getting ready to start. I look to some of the other dads. I'm like, hey, bro, you ready to do this for 3 more hours? And they're like, no. And I'm like, yeah. Me neither. I'm just glad that I'm still relatively young. And this one guy goes, what are you, like 26, bro? He's like laughing. I'm like, well, I'm like late 20s, but thank you for that. You know, appreciate it. And so it gets going. And there's this girl about this tall and standing in front of me with a ponytail that's going for like 3 hours in my face. Check out, we've got some pictures Suzanne took. This is us there at the thing. It's just packed. Okay, next one. There's Lizzie. She's really happy. There we go. All right. I'm faking a smile. Okay, on the right side, see banana guy there? All right. Banana guy is up there. And Lizzie's like, hey, banana guy, you got a good picture? He's like, what's up? You know, you pick. And when they had gone back to the back, they had gotten a bottle of water. I'm like, wow, you got water? How much is that? $14 for a bottle of water, all right? I'm like, hide it, you know? But they, banana guy saw them taking a drink of water. He goes, yo, can I have some water? And, you know, and Suzanne's like, Suzanne's just starting to have more and more fun. She's starting to look like Tara Dyke at 4th of July, all right? And she's like, yeah, but don't touch your mouth, all right? So they pass this water over to banana guy. All the other kids are like, you know, it's just going by. And he's like holding it up here and dumping it on his face. I'm like, stop, you know, because it's like, that was $8 in water he just poured on his banana costume. And I mean, it's crazy, all right? Just absolutely crazy. And we have a couple more. And so all this is going down. And I'm going, this is so not what I want to do for a concert, all right? But things kind of keep going and keep going. We start and we've got 9,000 kids between the ages of probably 10 and 19 all singing together. I'm about to have a good day. It's the God who made the universe knows me by my name. It's a good day. We were singing this stuff. I'm like, wow. And I'm watching them lift their hands. Lord, I lift my hands. I give all the praise to you. And I'm going, okay, this guy sings like with 10% of his energy. Like, to me, he sounds like he's on a lazy boy, you know, couch thing, you know. Lord, I lift my hands. Yeah. And I'm like, where's the soaring, passionate vocal? And this is all, you know. And but an entire generation, all right, the biggest Christian gathering in Seattle is happening with 9,000 kids saying, God, this is my response for making me brand new. Lord, thank you. You know, I'm just going, ooh. Start looking into this a little bit, okay? And you probably know this by now, but he's got, you know, like 1.5 billion looks on YouTube. July 31st, 24, he has number one download on iTunes of all genres, okay? All. Dove Award this last year, he gets his Dove Award and he says, you know, God's just blessing this right now. I don't know how long he's going to do it, but it might be another day. It might be a decade, but just pray that all the glory goes to him. Okay? And I'm just going, that's pretty cool, you know. And I hear the voice of God saying, so how many hundreds, thousands, millions, billions of young people are you touching right now? I'm like, well, I mean, you know, not that many, you know. And it looks a lot different than my preference would be. A lot different than my preference would be. But if we're going to embrace what God's doing, it's going to take some flexibility. God is moving. God is moving. And if I'll only allow him to move where I'm comfortable with him moving, I may not see him move at all. At all. At all. Powerful thing. Isaiah 43:19, we got this up here. It's one of my favorite verses. And God says to his people here, he says, behold, I am doing a new thing now. It springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He's doing a new thing. If God's going to do something new, it's going to have some new elements in it, all right? If God's going to do something new, it's not going to be the old. Amen. Do something new. Just because it's new doesn't mean it's God. But if God's moving, he's often doing something new. He says, do you not perceive it? Do you see it? Do you see it? I'm going to make a path in the wilderness. I'm going to put streams in the desert. I don't know about you, but if I'm driving down the road, I'm not looking in the wilderness going, man, I'd sure like to go over that way. I'm going, I just want on cruise control. Let's get through the desert here. Can we just move from this wilderness place into whatever's next? God, see me through this. And God's going, I'm doing something. I'm going to make a path here. I'm going to do something profound here. You better be looking. Get it off autopilot. Get it off cruise control, because I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something new. And I'm like, I just would rather it was comfortable. 1.5 billion looks on YouTube. You know how many views the video for the song, the For Him song has? 93,000. And that's a shame. But ...93,000. You don't have to be the best at math to go, that's a lot less. That's a lot less. God's doing something new. Do we perceive it? Are we listening? God's moving. And Forrest Frank, I don't have time to do the whole story. We've got to move forward, but he's part of a church. And 9 years ago, the church called a 3-day time of corporate prayer and fasting. 9 years ago, corporate prayer and fasting. So we've got to meet with God. So we're going to wrap up that time of prayer with 6 hours of worship. It's a church in Waco, Texas, by Baylor University. There's a sophomore in college there who had walked away from God in junior high. Went to a Christian school. Mom was in the choir. His dad, his grandfather, preached at Billy Graham Crusades. But this young man had wandered far from God, and as a college student was lost. In a coffee shop, he heard Jesus say, I'm calling you back. He Googled real quick, what church is doing a college service right now? And that church that was coming off a 3-day fast was in the college. He showed up, he walked in the door, and he had a radical encounter with Jesus, and his entire life was changed. And that young man still attends that church in Waco, Texas, and his name is Forrest Frank. Because some people said, God, what are you doing? We're going to seek your face. We're going to draw near you. We don't get it, but we're just going to draw near. God, you do whatever you want to do. And part of that time of fasting and worship, God was doing something deep in the life of a young man who'd wandered from him that has a call on his life. Here's what he looked like back when he was lost and affecting nobody for Jesus. I'm like, that's perfect. That guy's going to change the world. And he did, but not like that. He was going the wrong way. He was lost. Baylor University, and God got a hold of him. He's reaching a generation for Jesus. Oh God, move in your people. God, prepare us for what you're going to do. Lord, you make the plans. God, make us flexible to respond to you and what you're doing. God, if it's got to be your way or our way, oh God, let it not be our way. Amen. It's not going to work. God, we want your way. We want your way. God, you're doing something new. Help us to see it. Help us to perceive it. And this morning, as we partake of communion together, it's the ultimate celebration in so many ways. We talked about purpose, we talked about preparation, planning, we talked about people and flexibility. And God had the greatest purpose in mind for his people when he sent his son, right? And he prepared everything so that his son would be the sacrifice for us. And he calls his people to respond, and we get to join in that celebration. And Jesus displayed the ultimate flexibility in taking what he didn't deserve. He took our punishment on himself so that we could be saved. And he invites us to join that celebration this morning. So this morning, as we partake of communion, take a moment, make sure things are right with God. Make sure that you're where you need to be with him. Make sure that you've dealt with any sin. Make sure that you've been restored to him if you need to be. And then let's remember with great affection, solemnly, but also with great celebration, what Jesus has done for us as we thank him. And partake when the elements are ready, and come forward when you are ready. And let's celebrate our Jesus and what he's done.